is the covenant everyone knows. There's two covenants in the Bible everybody knows. The Mosaic Covenant, and you're like, I don't know what the Mosaic Covenant is. No, but it's also, there's two other names that they call this covenant. One is the Sinai Covenant because of the geography of where it happened, Mount Sinai, right? And the other one is the Old Covenant. If you listen to anybody speak about the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, they're not talking about Eden, and they're not talking about the Adamic Covenant or the Abrahamic Covenant or the Noahic Covenant. They're not talking about those Palestinian. They're not talking about all those. They are talking about this Mosaic Covenant. This is what they refer to as the Old Covenant. And again, as we're going through all this, I'm going to recap just a little bit, but hopefully not too much, because my clock's not working, and I don't know how long I'm preaching for. I'm just going to preach forever. Watch it. Covenant is the power of God's unbreakable love. That's what covenant is. That's what we know. That's what covenant in the Word of God describes, is God's unbreakable love. Because how many of you know, the first covenant that he made, he had to make the second covenant because they broke the first covenant. And so on, right? One of the things that I find is really cool, and I never really saw it this way before. How many know you learn stuff all the time? I was surprised the other day. We did a Bible study. We did something, and my dad, who's a doctorate in theology, he's been a pastor for almost as long as I've been alive, was like, man, I've never seen that in the Word of God before. And I was like, dude, that's awesome. I had something he didn't know, right? Anyway, how many of you know, you've never learned enough to know. We were cutting grass at a lady's house the other day, and I said, do you read your Bible? She's like, no, but I know it all. I'm like, oh, that's a bold statement right there. I didn't quiz her. I thought, we talked about it later, but like, you should have gave her a quiz. Well, what about this one? No, I didn't do that. I just like, you know what? So then I started talking about the Bible, and so we stepped into it. But one of the things is we can always learn from the Scripture. That's one of the amazing things, the principles that the Bible, that the Word of God is alive. Right? It's not that it changes, our perception of it changes. How many of you know our perspective on things means the world? Right? As your faith is, so be it. We talked about next door. I'm going to quit chasing squirrels in a minute, but we talked about next door before service today about how come people in America aren't healed the way people in Africa or these other countries are healed. Why? Because they ain't got no other choice. They don't have a doctor to go to give them a pill that's going to cause this, this, and this if they take it, but it's going to make that better. Right? And they don't have that. All they have is, God, if you don't do something, it ain't going to happen. And you know what? I believe you can do it, God. And you know what they see? They see hands unshriveled. They see blinded eyes open. They see crazy things happen. Why? Because their faith is there. Their faith is there. We need to understand God will do anything for his children. And he shows us time and time again because of the covenant. So going through covenant is defined, again, I'm doing this every week just so you catch it, some of you who weren't here, is usually a formal or solemn binding agreement. As we talked about the first week on what covenant is, how many of you know it's a binding agreement? God will not change. It doesn't change. We do. We're the ones that mess up the covenant. Again, we're going to talk about bilateral and unilateral in just a second. Bilateral, well, I'll do it right now. Bilateral means that two people are in the covenant, and there's an if-then that goes along with it. If you do this, then I will do this. This covenant we're going to talk about today is a bilateral covenant. God gives them the covenant, gives them the law, and says, if you live this way, I will be your God. What does that mean? That means if we don't live that way, I'm going to let you draw your own conclusions getting your word of God. But if we don't live that way, now, I'm going to explain something as we get into it. Nobody can live that way. That's the point, and we'll get to that in a second. But anyway, number two, a covenant is a written agreement or promise, usually under seal, between two or more parties, especially for the performance of an action. That would be the bilateral covenant that we were talking about. There's eight covenants in the Scripture we're going to be covering. How many of you know there are more covenants than just eight? But there are eight main covenants. How many of you know there's a marriage covenant? We're not talking about marriage covenant in this thing. Maybe we should. I don't know. Maybe I'll put it in there. But the first one we talked about was the Edenic covenant. It was talking about how we were created to rule, right? The second one was the Adamic covenant, which is redemption. You messed up the covenant, so I'm going to fix it so you can come back to me. That's the Adamic covenant. Then the Noahic covenant, God shows his restraint. He's going to destroy the whole world, but then he doesn't. He brings it back, and he finds one person. Again, the word righteous there, if you use, I like what Dr. Steve talked to me about. The word righteous there wasn't so much about his actions, but about his person and his being and who he was. He had a relationship with God. We see that. He walked with God the same way that Adam did, right? And because of that, he was chosen, and he's the one that built the ark. He's the one that God made the covenant that I will not ever. This is where he shows his restraint. I will never destroy or curse the earth because of man again. At the end of the garden, he curses the ground. We have thorns and thistles. It's hard to work. It's difficult to do things, right? That's what the scripture says. Then we go on down to here to Noah, and he's doing that. And God says, you know what? I'm not going to do that again. Again, going back to that section, why do we know it wasn't a localized flood like some of the theology that's going around today? Because you know what? In 2015, my parish, which is a county in Louisiana, we call them parishes, 75% of them lost their homes and their businesses due to a flood that was, most of them had between 18 to my boss, Ray Mitchell, had his whole house completely covered. You couldn't see the water line because of how bad the flood was in that section that he was at. So if it was not a whole earth flood, then God's word lies. How many of you know God's word does not lie? It does not, okay? And so going on down, you come to the Abrahamic covenant where we talked about how, again, this is where we're going to get into the nation part today, right? Last week, he made seven promises to him. He said, you'll be a great nation. He said, I'll make your name great, right? How many of you know? If we talk about God, Aaron said it today without even being a part of it. He said, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do you know why it stops at Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Because after that, he's the God of Israel, the nation. This is where the nation comes to pass. When they come out of Egypt, they go in 70 strong. Woo! And they come out in the millions. Again, that's debated whether it's 2 million or 6 million or 30,000 or whatever. They come out a nation. That is where God, and we, man, I don't want to go backwards, but we look at the struggles and the places that we're at and not happy with, the bondage that we feel like we're in, the oppression from the world and the different things like that, and we look at it as a horrible thing. But do you know that God used that as a vehicle to bring his nation together? 400 years, right? So in the midst of your struggles and your trials, don't rejoice that you have a struggle and a trial. Like, this is great. It's horrible. My life's... Don't do that. Rejoice about what God's going to do through this. The change that's going to come. How your life is going to be different. Better. Because God can bring good out of every situation. Word says it. He can. Doesn't mean he always does. Do you know why he doesn't? In my opinion, this is a Toby point. Remember how I talked about that? This is a Toby point. Why? Because we don't look for it. We want to hold on to that baggage and carry it around and wear it like a badge of honor. This is what I've been through. This is what I've gone through. No. This is what God has done in what I've been through and what I've gone through. How amazing is our Father? That's what we should be focusing on. That's what we should be looking on. And when we do that, we will see him. Now, the Mosaic covenant is about reveal. That's what we're going to talk about today. There's two more, the Palestinian and the Davidic covenant, and then the new covenant. And I'm just going to tell y'all something. I'm going to swap it up next week, kind of like we did with the Bible study, because when I originally planned to do this series, I was going to do the Edenic and the Adamic covenant together, and then I was going to do the Palestinian and the Davidic covenant together. And I can't, y'all know I talk too much. And so I slowed down, and just like we did with the Bible study, and I'm going week by week. And so my triumphal Jesus did it all is going to be 2 weeks after Easter unless I change up the program. So we're going to change up the program. Next week, we're going to talk about Jesus, and then we're going to go back and talk about the other two, all right? So if you come, we'll have two of them out of order next week, but it's still going to be hopefully good. Again, going into the covenants, there's two different kinds, bilateral or unilateral or unconditional. There's no condition to it. This is what I'm doing. Jesus sent his son that whoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's not determined on what you did. He did that regardless of what you do with it, right? That is something that is for you. This bilateral covenant, and this is one of the only, I think there's two bilateral covenants. Today is one of them, right? And going into the Mosaic covenant, it was a sacrificial system, and the laws are given to the people. So what Paul says about the law, how many of you know, there is a big controversy, argument about whether there's law or grace, or you're living under law, you should live under grace. How many of you know as he said earlier, prosperity. You know, prosperity is in the Word of God. Used properly, it's what is supposed to happen with it. It's like anything else, man. Sorry. Inanimate objects don't cause the problem. What we do with those inanimate objects does. Going back to give you the example, I was on morphine for 5 days, 1998, February, right? I got in a car wreck. I got a plate and 6 screws. I got a pin and a screw here. I was on morphine for 5 days. I needed it at that time. It helped me at that time. The doctors gave it to me at that time. It got me past a certain point. If I go and I grab some morphine today and start shooting up with it, I'm using it wrong. It's not right. With me? That's how those things work. Money is not evil. It's what you do with it. The love of money is what the root of all evil is, right? So these things, again, when we get into the law and we're like, listen, we're under grace, the law, we don't have to live by the law anymore. That's a lie. It's a half-truth. We still live by the law, but we don't do it because we have to. We do it because we choose to. It's a relationship. Right? And we're going to go on through and talk about some more of it, but this is the one thing, is that the old covenant, the Mosaic covenant, is summarized by 10 rules that we all know. How many of you know there's a lot more than 10 laws in the Bible? Right? There's a lot more than 10 commandments in the Bible, but how many of you also know that if you ask people what it means to be a Christ follower or what it means to be a Christian, they're going to tell you 10 things you can't do or you have to do. Right? Well, you can't kill people because God said it was bad, and you can't sleep around, and can't even look at your neighbor's stuff because that's bad too, and you can't lie about people. So if you don't do those things, you're a Christian. No, that's not how it works. We have relationship with him. And because of it, how many of you mess up your relationships? Wives, do not elbow your husbands at this moment. This is not the time for that. How many of you mess up your relationships? How many of you know you hurt the people that you love more than you hurt the people you don't care about? Anyway, relationship is what this is about. God's covenant is about having a relationship. At this point, before this point, I think it's really cool, and I never saw this before. Before this point, they lived in a righteous manner to God the same way that we have an opportunity to do it today. And you say, why is that? Because if you remember when we talked about Abraham, they said his faith was counted as righteousness. His faith was counted as righteousness. There weren't rules and regulations until this moment that they had to follow. They weren't there. Now, how did they have the relationship with God? How did they live in a righteous manner? By faith, the same way you and I do. That's how we, how can we receive his son? By faith. How do we receive healing, blessing, anything God wants to give to us? By faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because he who comes to him must believe that he is. And people stop there. How many of you know you got to do the whole counsel of God? This is where when people start talking about how prosperity and blessings and different things like this are not in the Word of God, they are if put in the right context. Put in the right context. Taken out of context, they're as dangerous and as horrible as all the rest of the false doctrines that are out there, right? But put in the right context, we see that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You want God to reward you? You want the rewards of God? You want to lay up your treasures in heaven? Seek God. Watch what happens. Watch what happens. You say, well, you know what? I lived for him for a while and it got harder. You know what? It's going to get harder. The enemy's going to push against you. Try walking upstream we like to go to Aquatica, and they got a lazy river, and we went past the place, and I was trying to get back to that thing, and there was no way. I'm holding on to the wall, I'm pulling, I'm jerking, I'm grabbing. It's taking me everything I can in about 5 minutes to go this far, right? Why? Because the flow is going so hard the other way. It's the same principle spiritually. When I'm trying to follow God and do God, the enemy is going to come and try to attack me and pull me back. Let's don't blame everything on him, though. Because our flesh wants to go back the other way too. Be honest. My dad used to tell a joke. He said he walked outside of the church and there was a devil. He was sitting on the curb crying. And the guy was like, "What's wrong with you?" He's like, "These Christians, they just blame everything on me. It wasn't my fault," right? Let's don't blame everything on him. Let's take some responsibility as well. But let's understand that he's given us these things to live by, to walk by. At this moment, again, going through the laws, and I've said this before, God is trying to get the Egypt out of the Israels. The Israelites, right? He's trying to get the Egypt out of them. He already got them out of Egypt. But how many of you know, in the process of that, they began to do the same thing. It's hard to say this. This is a good thing. There's one good principle when it comes to Israel staying Israel is the Egyptian culture. They did not mix. They didn't want to mix. They had a pure blood. That's what they wanted it to be. So they didn't take the Israels to be. They may have some, but for, as the most part, they did not. And that's why they were separate. That's why they were a lower class, right? In their minds, they weren't. They were God's chosen people, right? One of the other things that I see, too, about God's chosen people is, remember when we talked about Abraham last week? This is something I forgot to mention. Not only were the Jews, the Israelites, the people in Abraham's lineage, part of the covenant, but every person that he bought and brought into, no matter where they were from, into the household, was made a part of the covenant. So we think a lot of times that Paul, Gentiles weren't told to be coming in until Paul came, but Jesus said it, God said it all along, and then that's one of the places that we see. He says, your man, your servant, no matter where you bought him from, he's going to be a part of this covenant, right? So we see all the way back at the beginning, God bringing people that weren't part of Israel, part of his chosen people into his family, which is good for me and you. Amen? Anyway, going back to the covenant, the laws. God spoke, said this, Exodus chapter 20, 1 through 17. We're going to read some stuff and I'm going to break it up. We're going to talk a little bit and we're going to go through it. And God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. So the first rule, the first commandment that he gives is no other gods before me. Why is that important? Why is that important to us today? Why is that important to us today? Why is it important to understand what gods are, right? You say, well, there's no God other than our God. True. But how many of you know there's a lot of gods that people, a lot of things people put in the place of a god? You know what? It's not a little fat boot, little fat belly dude's gold dude that they worship all the time. It's not a tree of Asher that they put up beside the altars, right? It's not those things, right? But today, what do? We put fishing in the place of God. We put work in the place of God. How many of you know work is a good thing? Fishing's a good thing too, y'all. I'm just gonna say it. I said it. Now. One of those things. We put these things in the place of God in our life. How many of you know your relationship with your spouse and your children is so important? Most important thing on earth. After God. After God. Your relationship with God should be the most important thing in your life. Ladies, your relationship with God should be the most important thing in your life. There shall be no other gods before me. We think because we don't have little statues that we bow down to and say prayers to that we don't have gods in our life. There are things that we put in his place. Anything that is put in his place becomes a god in our lives. He's saying there are to be no other gods. You're to have no other gods. Then it says this. This is where we get the other one. You shall not make for yourself the carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. So again, we see how the covering of the father, of the head of the house, extends down to other people right here in this verse. It can extend down in a good way. It can extend down in a bad way. How many of you know you're teaching your kids stuff all the time? You're teaching your kids things to look up. So one of the coolest things and one of the worst things that happened to me when I was a kid, right? Not to say that happened to me, in the way that I was raised, right? Hi, Mom, Dad, I love you. I know you're watching. Do you know what? They never fought in front of us, ever. If one of them started to get frustrated, my mom would look at my dad and say, Bill, and he'd stop. Likewise, my dad would look at my mom and say, Barbara. They would say it in that way, and they would stop. And the conversation would not go any further until they were behind closed doors. That's amazing, right? But there's also a downside to it. I didn't know how to have a correct argument. I didn't know how to have a disagreement with my wife and understand that it's okay that we disagree. And because we disagree, how do we walk through these things together? I didn't know how to do that, right? So there's good sides and bad sides. April and I were married. I think I've told you guys this before. April and I were married about two years, because we were in our first apartment, so 2 years. And we had this couple that was engaged, and they were dating, and so we were like trying to pour into people and do that what we could. We didn't really have ministry other than youth ministry as a helper, and so we were trying. So we took this couple under our wing and started hanging out with them. His name was Chris. I don't even remember her name, but it 20 years ago. I don't remember what I had for breakfast 2 days ago. But it's one of those things that we poured into their lives, and we met once a week. We had dinner. We'd go out to a restaurant, or we would watch a movie at our house, or we'd do go bowling or putt-putt. We'd do something with them to just pour into their lives, right? Well, she gets a call because they're coming over to our house for dinner. She gets a call, April does, and it's the girl, and she says, hey, can you and Toby get in a fight tonight? She said, wait, what? She said, can you do something for me? And she's like, yeah, what do you need? She's like, can y'all get in an argument tonight? Like, wait, what? Like, what are you talking about? He's like, well, Chris and I have been arguing a lot, and he's ready to just break it off because married couples don't argue. You guys don't ever argue. I'm like, yeah. Okay, babe, don't say nothing right now. Just don't say nothing right now, right? Like, we do argue, but we don't air it out in front of other people. I mean, you know, there's some stuff you need to keep quiet. I wasn't always good at that. You can ask April. There was one day we was in Walmart. We was arguing. A lady came around the corner. She's like, stop. People are watching. I was like, you want to join me and her in the peace? She did turn around and went the other way, right? Like, I wasn't always good at these things, right? I'm still messed up sometimes. But I didn't understand the how to do things because of what I didn't see it, right? There's things that your kids learn from you. There's a covering that your kids and that your family, your grandchildren and your grandchildren's children, right? There's a covering that comes and trickles down to them, good and bad. And you can look at it in the physical, but you also need to look at it in the spiritual. Noah's whole family was okay on the ark. Why? Because Noah was on the ark. God said, you and your family, right? So now there is a personal responsibility to have a relationship with Jesus that you have to have on your own. You can't rely on great-grandma's blessing because it comes down to the fourth generation. If you look at that, that's the iniquity. Passes to the fourth generation. But the blessing, you show steadfast love to thousands of those who keep me, who love me and keep my commandments. Right? Love me and keep my commandments. So, number two, don't have any idols. Don't put Buddha in the corner. Don't do these different things, right? I'm using him because everybody knows about him, right? But there's other things that you can put in place of him. Again, with the idols, with the don't make any graven images. This is the next thing, man, and this is something that we see constantly. And then, again, there's debate on it, but you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So number three, he says, don't take my name in vain. Do you know what? Do you know what? They'll still cut some words that we deemed to be curse words off of the TV, and they'll bleep those things out. But you know they don't bleep GD out? Or if they say Jesus Christ in the middle of something, not talking to him, they don't bleep that out on TV. You guys realize that? Do you guys realize how many kids, we go to a certain place, and this is what society is today. How many kids I see that when we're at SeaWorld or when we're at other different places, and something crazy will happen, and they'll say, Jesus Christ. Like, that's not him, that's a whale. Right? Do you know what that is? It's taking the name of the Lord in vain. And we just don't even think about it. We don't even think about it. It's not even a thing. And this is one of the things that he says, do not do this, if there's something that we're going to... So, remember when we was talking about the when they talk? The hay, right? That's what it's called. I found that out. It's called a hay. Yeah, they was laughing at me because I was like... Anyway, do you know why they did that? Because they didn't say the name of God. It was so holy they didn't say it. Is that crazy? But the OMGs that we put on our thing, do you know what that's for? Well, I said goodness. It was, oh my goodness, is what I said. Do you know what that's from? Again, we can split hairs and go to all kind of crazy stuff. You won't be able to say nothing, ever, right? That's why today, it's a matter of your heart. But do you know what? In your heart, you should honor God and his name. You should honor God and his name. Verse number 8. This is one of the things that Dr. Steve was talking to me about this earlier, and I've talked at length about this with one of my friends. He's a Seventh-day Adventist, and how many of you know Saturday is the holy day, and that's the day that you honor God and that you rest and that you do those things. And I come back with the scripture that Paul says, well, one man honors one day over the other. You see what I'm saying? Again, it's a matter of the heart. But this is what ends up happening, and it ends up happening with the law too. Let me read this, and then I'll tell you this. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath unto your Lord. Notice he doesn't say it's just a day off to do what you want to do. It's like, man. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock. How are you going to make your livestock not work? Anyway, go back. Your livestock or with the sojourner who is with you at the gate. So the people that are coming into your house are to honor his day too. For in the 6 days, the Lord made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Keep the Sabbath day holy. That's number 4. Do you know what? We don't do that. We don't do that. Our Sabbath day is when we get our yard work done. Our Sabbath day is when we do all the things that we wish we could do during the week, but we can't because we have a job and we have to work and we can't do it. And so we're going to, well, I can honor God from a boat. You sure can, but do you? Do you? That's the thing. That's the thing. All right, Don, we got you there, brother. I got you. This is what happens. We get to where it is amazing. We get to where the process that we're under grace, so the law isn't a part of our life, so we don't have to even worry about it, and we can do what we want. That's not a true statement. God, Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law. I came that it might be fulfilled in me. When is the last time that you took a day and did nothing but honor God with it? That's what the Sabbath is, and it's supposed to happen one day out of every 7. When we look back at those things and we say, well, that's a different culture, that's a different time, we can't do that, and that's just, okay. Well, since it's a different culture, maybe we could just get rid of all the Bible if you're going to use that principle or that thought process. I mean, that's not a true statement either. That doesn't even sound good. But we want to pick and choose what does sound good to us. Amen? I know that's a hard one, y'all. For me to sit still is hard. Like when I first got my blood clot in my leg and I had to sit down for a week and do nothing, do you know how miserable I was? And John and Shane and the guys are all like, hey, man, you can still do stuff while you're sitting down. I'm like, yeah, but that's boring. I want to do stuff. Like, I want to do something. Like, I don't want to read a book. I want to do something. But you know what? How many of you know I need to read a book? I need to. That was God saying, hey, dude, you ain't taking a Sabbath. Slow down. Well, that sometimes he talks to me like that. I know he doesn't really talk like that, but that's how I hear it. Okay? He's like, slow down. You're doing too much. You need to stop. You need to. If you're not going to take a break, I'm going to make it so you do. Do you know what? That's the health problems that we get are because we didn't treat our body right and take the breaks and do the things that we were supposed to do. Just a thought. 6 days, the Lord made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them and rested on the seventh day. He said, therefore, because of that, The Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. You need to have a day, a week that you give to God and that you relax, that you rest mentally, physically, and you focus on Him. Say, well, with my schedule, I can't do that. Maybe you need to change your schedule. Maybe that's a thought. Maybe we can make our schedule fit God's word instead of God's word fit our schedule. Just a thought. The next thing that we come to, this is a cool one, right? This is the only commandment that has a promise attached to it, right? Here it is. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land, and that the Lord your God is giving you, that the Lord your God is giving you. All the parents in the house say, amen. Kids, listen up. But how many of you know honoring your father and mother doesn't mean doing what they say to do all the time? And how many of you know that there's a point, and this is to the parents too, and this is my thought, my take on it. It's not the scripture. This is my thought process behind it. I'm going to share it with you. Is that just because they're your children, there comes an age of accountability. There comes an age where they leave their father and mother's house and move out, and that's when you can be friends. But your parents, until the day they move out your house, it's not really. Let me say this. I have never seen it done where you could be the friend and the parent both. There comes a time where you are the parent, because what ends up happening is you get too close to your child as they're a kid growing up, and they're your friend now, and you're not parent anymore. Do you know what happens on TV? If you turn on kids' TV, the parents are the dumbest, most stupid, can't even function. Huh? Especially the dad now. Especially the dad. Clueless. And it's ingrained into them that dads don't care, that they're not important, that you don't have to listen to them, that you don't have to honor them. Again, this is just one of the ways that the enemy comes in and tries to take the people away from what God intended us to have and be. Now, if you read your scripture, gentlemen and ladies, that you're not to lord over them. You're supposed to be their parent. How many of you know God doesn't lord over us? He doesn't just stand there waiting on us flesh just to gig us. You messed up, I'm going to pop you. Do you know what? Some of y'all be mad. I pop my kids. I do when they need it. I do. Some people don't. That's okay. You do you. I'll do me. But I do what the scripture says, right? And I'm not. No, that's bad. That means I just said you did. That's not what I meant by that. That's not what I meant by that. So please. That was a serious. This is a joke. Take that back. I believe scripture says, and this is one of those ones that's in the scripture where they quote it and it's not in the scripture. Spare the rod, spoil the child. It's not what it says. That's nowhere in the word of God. But it does say if you spare the rod, you hate your child. That's what it says. Now, people who don't, look, there's other types of discipline. There is. I get it. My kids are so knuckleheaded like me that if I don't light them up every now and again, it ain't going to matter. You can put them in the corner all day long. Shelby be like, sweet, I want to be in the corner anyway. Right? I'm just telling you, right? I got to the point with my kids, I was like, well, do you want a spanking or do you want this? Now, I don't beat my kids. I don't get all mad and come out unglued. I give them three spankings. I say, we sit down. I'm not mad. I'm over whatever. If I'm mad, I don't discipline them right then. I go into the other room. I go away. I come back. We sit down. We have a conversation before anything happens. I don't just pop my kid. I sit down and I say, okay, what happened? This is what happened. What did we talk about? We said, if this happens, then what's going to happen? Then I'm going to get a spanking. Okay, you did this. They said, yes. So what needs to happen? I need to get a spanking. Right? That's how it works. Right? That's what goes on. That's the way that I do it at my house. Again, I'm not telling you to do it the way I do it. Some of y'all might look and be like, man, that family's jacked up. You don't want to be like that. Some people don't. John got mad. He's leaving. Just kidding. He's like, I'm not spanking my kids. I'm leaving. No, he's got basketball to go to. He told me that already. Oh, I love it. This is great. Anyway, honor your father and mother. This is the only command that has a promise that your days will be long. That your days will be long. Why is that? Think this thought process. If I listen to God and I obey His laws and I honor what He tells me to honor, my life is going to be a long life. It's when I do the dumb stuff that He said, don't do that, Watch this, right? That comment never goes well. Hey, guys, check this out. Right? That's not what happens, right? God's given us all these laws and all these rules and all these commands so that we will have a healthy, blessed life. But we want to do our own thing, and that ends up being crazy. And then we're mad because we got disciplined. How many of your kids got mad at you because you disciplined them for doing something they weren't supposed to do? Don't think that you're above that. You do that with God all the time. Be honest. Be like, not me. Okay, not you. I do it all the time. Let me say that. I'll be in the middle of a situation where he's like, God, why are you letting this happen? And then he'll bring to my remembrance all the things that I did that led up to that point. I'm like, oh, my bad, God. Can you help me get out of it now that I'm in it, though? That's how it works, and he does. Next thing, verse 13. I'm not going to get to everything I had today, so it's okay. We're going to get to enough, I think. You shall not murder. That's kind of self-explanatory, right? Now, there's people that continue that. Okay. I don't want this to be political or anything. There's people that continue that into, like, you can't serve in the military, and you can't kill animals, and you can't do all those things because you're not allowed to murder. But guess what? The covenant happened. The first one in the garden happened. What happened to take care of it? God killed an animal. Like, I'm not saying just go out and kill animals. I'm just saying think of the logic behind it, right? Think of the logic when they were at battle. Did he say, you shall not kill people, you're not going to fight anybody, and no one's going to die in this battle that you're going to overtake these people? No, he said go in and destroy everything. Destroy everything. Again, when we come to these things, now I'm not saying just go destroy stuff, okay? That's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying look at the, like, yes, he said I could shoot people on the interstate. No, that's not what I said. How many of you know there's a time and a place for everything? There's a time and a place for everything. There's a reason to stand up for things, and there's a reason to not stand up for things at certain times. There's a time to speak, and there's a time to stay silent. Sometimes speaking, you're going to cause more damage than if you would have just stayed silent. Sometimes staying silent is going to cause more damage than if you spoke. That's why you have to have discernment. You have to follow the Spirit. You shall not murder is what he says. That's pretty self-explanatory. You shall not commit adultery. That's pretty self-explanatory too, except for one thing. We think of adultery as just having a sexual relationship with someone else. But how many of you know there's an emotional adultery as well? Where no physical anything happened, but there's an emotional tie, an emotional bond that comes. That's why you have to have accountability. You have to have accountability. You have to make sure that you do not do this thing, right? This is one of them. You shall not steal. Man, why do you have to put this one in right at tax time, right? Like, why do you have to do that? You shall not steal. You know what? That could be anything. Well, they're not going to miss this, so I'm just going to, I know it's my neighbor's, but it was in my yard, so possession is 9/10 of the law, right? No. Thou shalt not steal. There's a lot of things that we can steal. There's a lot of things that we can take. We need to be careful of it. Number, this one here. This is one of the ones that's the top 10 that we don't look at as being really bad. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Do you know that somebody comes and tells you something and you haven't backed it up and verified that's what it is, and you tell somebody else you're bearing false witness against your neighbor? Or you could be, right? Because how many of you know there are perspectives to every situation? Your side, my side, and the middle where the truth happens. Right? There's sides to every story. That's why they call them witnesses when they come. It's like, well, from my perspective, this is what I saw. Well, this is what I saw from my perspective. How many of you know I saw this thing the other day where this guy was suing because there was some, it was one of the, back when all the craziness was happening, people were running past each other and doing stuff. Somebody ran past somebody and knocked them down from this camera angle. And you could see them turn like this and you could see them fall down. You can see them do all these things, but then, from this camera angle. But when you saw from this camera angle, they were a foot and a half away from the person. And they were suing them, showing this camera. And it wasn't until they found this camera angle that they were like, nope, this is done. Let's get this out of here. So much is about perspective in our lives. That's why it's so important that we make sure that what we speak isn't just what we think it is. We talked about in Wednesday night Bible study about the spirit of Leviathan that twists and changes and twists things that has been said. How many of you guys have said one thing to somebody and they heard something totally different? That's why I hate text messages, right? I text to you something, I'm like, yeah, you're right, or something. I don't know what I can say. Oh, glad to see you at church this morning, right? Glad you were here this morning. And then like, well, they just sent like, glad I'm here this morning, like I don't come every week, right? It's the perspective. And they're just being like, man, it's awesome to see you here today, man. And we're reading into it. That's what ends up happening. But how many of you know our perspective on what we're telling people and how we're witnessing against other people? God says, this is important. Don't do it. Do you know what? If I have an issue with Shane, you know I don't need to go to Aaron and talk to him, Aaron, about my problem with Shane. Scripture says I need to go to Shane. Then if me and Shane can't work it out, then we go get Aaron. And we say, hey, this is what's happening. And he can't be on your side or my side. We just have to stay neutral in the middle. Okay, Shane? But says you, I got more money. I got more money in my pocket than you do. No, anyway. So, we'll see about that. I'm bringing somebody else too. No, but well, that's how it works, right? If we have a problem, if you have a problem with somebody, don't tell anybody else until you've gone and spoken to them. The only exception to that would be your spouse. I run everything past my spouse. That's why she has the wisdom. I just, she's the brains, I'm the brawn, right? She's the one tells me, like, half the time I want to go do something. She's like, no, you need to back up. You need to think about this. This is the perspective you need to look at. Like, but I don't want to look at that perspective because I'm mad already. Oof. Don't bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet. Shall not covet. Don't, man, be happy for people when God blesses them. Be happy for people when God blesses them. Don't be like, well, I sure wish I had that. And be mad at them because they got it. Serious, man. Let's be joyful that God is blessing people, even if we don't see his blessing in our lives right now. Let's be grateful. Let's be thankful. Let's celebrate. And the reverse side of that coin, don't ever celebrate when something bad happens to somebody, ever, even if you don't like them. That was just a bonus. I liked it, though. So I have some more to go, but we don't have time to go there. I want you to do something for me. I'm going to tell you some things. I'm going to give you some scripture. I want you to write down. I want you to go to look at it, okay? Because I'm not going to go through it. It's not enough to do another week on it. So we're going to do, and we're talking about Jesus next week anyway. So there you go. Exodus 24, 3 through 8. I want you to read that. This is the part where we talked about the blood covenant. Remember how the blood covenant split the animal down the side, lay one on one side, lay one on the other, and walked through it? The blood sprinkled the half and the half. Right here, God, or Moses, takes the animal, the blood from the animal, he puts half of it on the altar, and he sprinkles half of it on the people. The blood covenant. You see that in Exodus 24, 3 through 8. So I want you to go to read through it. I want you to look at that. And then what we're going to do is I'm going to come really, really quick to Exodus 34, 10 through 27. I want you to write that. I put 17 on here, but I added a bunch more stuff. What he goes through right here, 10 through 28. What he does right here is he kind of recaps and revisits the covenant, kind of renews the covenant and goes over some things, but he adds something to it right here that we don't put in the Ten Commandments, that we don't put apart. There's a couple of things. One of them I don't even understand. Maybe I got to look into it. I just, as I'm studying, I see it. It says, don't cook a goat in its mother's milk. Like, I don't know why that's in here. I don't know what the symbology is. I don't know why you're not supposed to do that, but it says it in there. So when you're reading that, you'll see it when you read it later. But he says this, verse 10, he says, and behold, I am making a covenant before all your people. Before all your people, I will do marvels such as have not been created in all the earth or in any nation, and all the people among you whom you are shall see the work of the Lord, for it is an awesome thing that I will do with you. That's probably not the King James Version, because I don't think they have awesome in the King James Version. This is the ESV, but he will do an amazing thing. How many of you know God will do an amazing thing? The scripture says far above what you could ask or think. Now, this is what it says. This is the if-then statement, but he gives us the then before he gives us the if. Okay? When you read this, and I'm going to read this little section right here. He says, I will do this awesome thing for you. Then he says, observe what I command you this day. Behold, I will drive out before you the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Take care lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land to which you go, lest it become a snare in your midst. Do you know what? God was so set on Israel not bringing anyone else into the family. He's not racist. I'm going to tell you that. He wants all generations to know. Do you know why he did that? One, because the bloodline was going to be pure until Jesus comes, right? But the problem with it is what comes with me bringing someone outside of my family and a different religion into my family, then we try to mix the two and it makes it not right. So if I'm this religion and somebody that I'm bringing into my house is this religion, what ends up happening? We mix together and we become something that wasn't intended for either one. Yeah. And you say, well, the other religion is already an abomination. Well, that's a whole nother topic. Doesn't matter. But what ends up happening is he's saying, if you bring this stuff in your house, it could mess you up. Don't bring it in your house. Man, what could we apply that to our lives today? Don't bring that into your house because it'll mess you up. Leave it outside. Don't let that be a part of your family. Don't let that be a part of life. Don't let that be a part of these things. Then it says this, you shall tear down their altars and break up their pillars and cut down their ashram. For you shall worship no other god, for the Lord, who name is jealous, is a jealous God. Lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land. So he's saying, don't bring that stuff in your house because you'll end up making a covenant with them. And you already have a covenant with me. You already have that with me. You'll be invited to sacrifice with their families. I'm a brief it here real quick for time's sake. You'll be invited to their house to have a dinner and to hang out when they've sacrificed that meat to idols. And you're going to be partaking in what their thing is. How many of you know, if you brought somebody that wasn't a part of the Jewish community, wasn't part of the Christian, and you bring them to Passover meal, that is all about celebrating God and what he's done. So the people that come to that meal are partaking in your celebration of God. He's saying, don't go into their homes and eat, and because what's going to happen? They're going to invite you over on a special occasion, something that they're going to celebrate, and they're going to be celebrating their God, and you're not going to know any different, and you're going to be celebrating their God with them. Don't do it. That makes a lot more sense when you say it that way, huh? It makes a lot more sense if you think, well, I never thought about it like that. No other gods before me. That's what he says. Don't make any images. He goes over the images again. Then he comes to this and he says, the first of everything shall be mine. In verse 19, all that opens the womb are mine. All your livestock, your male livestock, your firstborn cow and sheep, the firstborn donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. If you do not redeem it, you shall break its neck. That's kind of harsh right there. If you don't give the sacrifice for it, you need to kill it. You don't need to keep it. Wow. So he comes in, all your firstborn sons and daughters you shall redeem, and none shall appear before me empty handed. That means, you know what that means? It means I'm going to put things in your hand. I want to see if you're going to give back or if you're going to keep it all yourself. It's another place. Then it goes to this. 6 days you shall work. It goes into the Sabbath. Then to remember the Sabbath. And then it talks about the sacrifices down, the blood offering. You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with anything unleavened, or let the sacrifice of the feast of Passover remain until the morning. There were certain ways that they had to do the Passover meal, and everything had to be eaten. All of it. They had to make a happy plate. That's what he said. They had to make a happy plate. That's what he said. You got to eat all of it. Nothing can remain. And then he gets down into the tithes and offerings and the first fruits, right? Bring me all the first fruits, or what comes to me. You bring the first fruits to me. Do you know what? I have a friend. I have a friend. I ain't going to say his name. He started a business. It was his second business. And he said, do you know what? He started reading about first fruits in his time. And he said, you know what? He said, all of the proceeds, every bit of it, besides what I put out in paying my guys labor and materials, every bit of this first house I'm giving to God. Every bit of it. He built a house, whole house. He said, I'm giving God every bit of it. And be like, well, that's ridiculous. That's dumb. Well, to him, he was given a first fruit. He said, God, this is my business. I'm praying that you bless it. I believe this is your will for me to do it. Your word says I'm going to do this, so I'm going to do it. Do you know what? His business went stupid crazy. Stupid crazy. Now, does that happen every time? No, not if you're doing it so that your business will go stupid crazy. God, I'm going to give you this so that you make my business really good. Doesn't work that way. It's like my brother when he first did tithes and offerings. He got a dollar. He put 10 cents in. He found $10 that week. He's like, man, I'm putting all 10 in the offering this week. He can bring me 100. That's not how it works. That's the way his brain works, though. But that's not how God's brain works, right? That's not how it works. Anyway, we're going to stop because it's time. Y'all ready to stop? I want you to think about this. I want you to go back through and read those passages that I gave you, Exodus 24, 3 through 8, and then Exodus, I think it's 34, 10 through 28. Put that in there. Just read it and just look at it and go through it. And remember this, man. We're going to talk about next week Jesus and how he fulfilled all the covenants, even before we get to the Davidic and the Palestinian covenant. We're going to go through and talk about how he fulfilled all those things. But don't allow the lie of the enemy to come and say, they are not a part of my life anymore because Jesus fulfilled them. That's not right. That's not right. That's not right. How many of you know, if you think about Jesus, and I'm getting into next week a little bit, if you think about what he called us to, we cannot do it even more than we couldn't do the physical things before. Because in all of these are physical things or emotional things. Put God first. The first four are to God. The last six are to other people. That's why Jesus said, if you love God and love people, you'll fulfill all the commandments. All the commands will be taken care of those two things. But Jesus takes it a step further, and it's not whether you do it, it's whether you feel it in your heart. It's whether you think it in your heart. It's not whether I commit adultery, it's whether I lust in my heart after someone. It's not whether I murder someone, it's whether I have hatred in my heart towards them because of a situation. As I harbor unforgiveness. I said that, and some of you guys thought about some people you need to forgive right now. That's what just happened. That's what just happened. Listen. This whole book, all this word, is here so that we can understand how much God loves us. The whole book, they say, well, how come dinosaurs aren't in there? How come all this stuff in there? How come you can't read about that? Well, it doesn't talk about cars either, but you ride down the road in one of them. You see what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of stuff that's not in this book. Why is that? Because this book is not a book about that. It's about God's plan for man and to bring him back to him, to bring man back to God. That's what this is about. So there's going to be some stuff in here that we're going to have to wonder about. There's going to be some stuff in here that we're only going to understand by what the Holy Spirit shows us and teaches us and what God teaches us. And how are we going to find that? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Look for God first, and all these things will be added to you. All these things will be given to you. But don't forget to seek him. Don't forget to look after him. Now, before I pray and we get out of here, I want to remind you guys of a couple of things. And how many of you, don't raise your hand. Do not raise your hand. Everybody sit on your hands real quick. You don't have to actually do it, but you guys know what I mean. How many of you this week share Jesus with one person all 7 days? Think that thought. And if you didn't, it's okay. The past is behind us. We get to move forward. This week, when you go out those doors, find a way to tell somebody how good Jesus is every day. One person a day. Don't make it the same person every day. Good morning, Jesus loves you. Margaret, you're at the front desk. So I'm going to tell you every day when I come in. No. Pick somebody else. Pick a different person every day and tell them that Jesus loves them. Tell them, ask them, hey, can I tell you what God did in my life? And if they say yes, then say, he changed me. I was once lost and now I'm found. The end. You could do it that quick, right? Because it might spark curiosity. They might come back and be like, what do you mean about being lost and found? Then you're going to have to talk to them. But it's okay. God will give you the words to say. Trust him. right? And the more you do it, the easier it'll get. Again, I asked a woman again this week, what did your pastor talk about Sunday at church? She told me, loudly. Why do I always find the loud people? It's just good, because everybody in that place heard about how Jesus, about what their pastor talked about the word of God this week, right? Find a way to share Jesus with people this week. Find a way, especially today. And this is one of the things that I meant to do this earlier and I didn't do it. I'm sorry, I'm taking up more time. I meant to do this earlier and I didn't do it. Today we celebrate Palm Sunday. What does that mean? One of the things to me, Aaron and I were talking about this yesterday, one of the things that it is to me is a reminder of how quickly we can walk away from our thought process and our belief about who Jesus is because of situations or circumstances. And you say, what are you talking about? I'm not saying you're supposed to do that. You're not supposed to do that. But if you remember, on the day of triumph, on the day of Palm Sunday, as he's coming down the road, they were throwing palm branches and their cloaks in front of him as he rode a donkey into town, right? A colt that was tied up. If you guys look, that's part of a prophecy that is fulfilled. Remember how many prophecies did Jesus fulfill? All of them. That's one of the prophecies from the Old Testament that we see there. But we see the exact same people saying he is the king, he is the Messiah, he is the chosen one, and celebrating him, and then 5 days later screaming crucify him, right? Now I am mad at the people that crucified Jesus. You know why? Because that was God's plan, and Jesus said, no man takes my life, I give it up, I choose to do this, right? There's going to be some messed up people that are going to actually understand after the fact of things that happen and after the problems that come and the things that they see, they're going to look back and say, I should have done things differently. And if I could, I would. We get the opportunity to share him with other people so that they don't have to look back and think that thought. Amen? This week, man, let's celebrate the fact, first of all, that he is king, that he is the Messiah, he is the chosen one, and let's don't turn our backs again. Amen? Let's celebrate on Sunday the resurrection that gives us life. Next week, it's going to be good. I love you guys. What? Oh, hey, people online, I hope you're still here. Next week, good, sweet. Next week, we are actually going to do live worship. And so Aaron is going to come back and do worship for us on Sunday, this coming Sunday. And so we are going to start at 9:30 because they won't cut us off because of us doing our own music, just with videos and stuff like that. So next week, Easter Sunday, will be at 9:30 and the whole service will be online and available to you guys. And thank you guys again for watching. And thank you guys for coming, man. Listen, don't rush off. Part of what happens here is relationship. I know we spent 15 minutes with these folks earlier. I'm done. I'm out. That's okay. I get it. But invest into the people that are around you, please. Please, please, please. Let them know that they're not in this by themselves. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, as we get ready to walk out these doors, we love you. We thank you. We ask that you would allow us to see you moving and working in our lives and in ways that we've never seen before. As your word says, in ways that the earth has not even seen yet, Father God, I ask that you would allow us to see these amazing things that you're going to do. Allow us to focus on them instead of the world, instead of the wind, instead of the waves, instead of the issues that are going on, Father God. But don't let us live with our head so far in the cloud that we don't focus on the people that are around us, Father God, and pour into their lives and help in their situations. God, I ask that you would help us with that now. Allow us to have an amazing week in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen, amen. Love you guys.